Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and his Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. I was seeing some confused looks among a few of you when I was reading the gospel lesson because I see that I left off an entire paragraph. Imagine the confusion that those present in Jerusalem on the day of Pentecost felt when they heard the apostles speaking in their own languages that they could not have possibly known since they were Galileans. I need new glasses, apparently. Lord, open my eyes that I might properly read your word. So, you know, just to get that word in there, even though you read it in your bulletin insert, I'm going to read it again. Jesus answered him, "If anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. Whoever does not love me does not keep my words. And the word that you hear is not mine, but the Father's who sent me." This is the gospel of the Lord, abbreviated though it may be. Notice the direction here. It's not from man to God, but from God to man. The Father and Christ will come to the believer who keeps, and keeps means guards, cherishes, who keeps God's word. They will come from heaven and make their home with that believer. And again, today on the day of Pentecost, we have the same thing occurring. The Holy Spirit comes down from heaven with a sound like a mighty rushing wind, and that sound fills the whole house where these believers were sitting. And then divided tongues as a fire appeared to them and rested on each one of them. Again, the movement is from heaven to earth. But it's a different scenario altogether in the Old Testament reading. Because in the Old Testament reading, the movement or the attempted movement is from earth to heaven. Because there, those descendants of Noah who had one language, had the same words, migrated from the east. And they found a plain in the land of Shinar, settled there, and they said to one another, "Come," and that word "come" appears multiple times in this reading, "come," they're calling themselves together, "let us do this. Let us make bricks and burn them thoroughly." And so they had brick for stone. This is a development of the technology of their day. Because at this time, people built houses, etc., out of stone. They had bitumen for mortar. And then again, they say, "Come, let us build ourselves a city and a tower with its top in the heavens, and let us make a name for ourselves, lest we be dispersed over the face of the whole earth." So, come, come, let us do this, let us do that, let us make a name for ourselves. The movement here, the proposed movement, is from earth to heaven. And these people have been the recipients of the sin of Adam. They have inherited his sin of wanting to be like God, of wanting to be God's equal, indeed of building a tower by which they may rise above God, and instead of exalting the holy name of the Lord God, the creator of heaven and earth, they want to make a name for themselves. Now they want to build the city of man, whereas in the recent readings from the book of Revelation, we have had described for us the city of God coming down from heaven, the New Jerusalem coming down from the throne of God. They, again, want to make a name for themselves by this architectural masterpiece which they have designed and which they attempt to build. But again, they want a name for themselves. They are prideful. They are not willing to bow before the name of the one true God. They're trying to go up to reach God. But compare and contrast that with what happens next. We're told that the Lord came down to see the city and the tower. Now, there's some Hebrew irony going on here. We should not think that God is limited, that God is not omniscient, that God is not omnipresent. But the words there, the Lord came down to see the city and the tower, indicates how minuscule this project is from God's perspective. It's a tower that is going to reach up to heaven. It's going to be a glorious city by which the people make a name for themselves. But from God's perspective, it is but a microbe. And the image you could have here is of God. And again, this is just an image. It's not the real thing. But it's of God as if he were a human being, getting down on his hands and knees and peering into the dirt to look at the beginnings of a little anthill. How this contrasts with the image of glory, the image of pride that the people have in the work that they propose. The Lord God says, "Behold, they are one people, and they all have one language." And this is only the beginning of what they will do. You could say the evil of what they will do. And nothing that they propose to do now will be impossible for them. Again, they are exalting themselves as above God. They don't see God as the creator. These are, you could say, self-made men and women. And they want to have a self-made tower and a self-made city and a self-made name for themselves. And God knows how destructive that will be. Just as he knew what a terrible thing it would be if he had let Adam and Eve remain in the perfect garden of Eden that he had fashioned for them. Just as he knew how terrible and awful it would be if they continued to live forever with their sin multiplying, continually corrupting within them. It would be good to put a terminus to sin, and God did so by shortening their days and by pronouncing upon them the sentence of death. Death came into the world through the sin of the one man, Adam. Adam and Eve's sin was pride. They wanted to be like God. They listened to the voice of the serpent rather than the word of God. And so is the temptation with us. So is the natural failing of our sinful nature. It doesn't give spit for the word of God. It despises the word of God. It wants to go its own way and urges us on, along with the flesh and the devil, to pursue our own way and to make a name for ourselves, to see ourselves as under no authority but that which we create for ourselves. We are our own people. We are our own gods. which is false, which is terrible, which is evil, and imagine a world full of people who think of themselves as their own gods, with various competing wills, with various competing desires and agendas, with various standards of good and evil. The result would be chaos. The result would be terrible. The result would be much like the world in which we are now living. But God has done something to confound that. God comes down and he confuses the people's language. Now, as a result of that, there are nations and there are wars. But these things, wicked though they are, evil and destructive though they are, show what is really deep down in the heart of each one for us. Each one of us. God comes down. He comes down in judgment upon this futile folly of the people of Shinar. And yet this coming down reminds us of another coming down of God. He came down from heaven for us men and for our salvation. God in the flesh came down from heaven to be our strong tower through whom we mount up to God. The direction is from heaven to earth, and then from earth to heaven. We see this in the incarnation of our Lord. We see this in his ascension. And you could say we ride his coattails into heaven. God comes down so that we may know him. And that's what happened on the day of Pentecost. On the day of the judgment in Babel, the languages of various people came into being, and there was confusion, there was chaos. People did not understand one another's language. Hand me a hammer, who? What? I said, give me a trowel. But on the day of Pentecost, that is undone, because the Spirit of God that Jesus had promised came down from heaven in the sound of a mighty rushing wind, and different tongues as of fire appeared to the disciples and rested upon them. And they were filled with the Holy Spirit, we read, and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And these utter tongues were not nonsensical languages, self-invented. These other tongues were the languages of all the Jews who had come to Jerusalem for the festival of Pentecost. We have a list of them there. Parthians and Medes and Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, which is where the Tower of Babel was built, by the way, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus, Asia, Phrygia, Pamphylia, Egypt, and the parts of Libya belonging to Cyrene, visitors from Rome, Cretans and Arabs. Each of these people heard the gospel proclaimed in their own language. The gospel of grace and mercy and salvation. The gospel that God sent his Son into the world. And even though the human race rejected him, God used that very rejection to save a fallen, sinful world. Yesterday, I attended a wedding celebration at the sister church across the street, the Hmong Trinity Lutheran Mission. And it was neat. They had a bulletin printed in their own language. And looking at that bulletin, I couldn't make head or tails of it. But I could follow the liturgy. I could tell when they said amen. I could tell when they prayed. I could tell when they prayed the Lord's Prayer. I could tell when the benediction was pronounced. And even though we have separate languages, I could understand what was going on. And I was joined together with them in worship of the one true God, in proclamation of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And thus it is around the world. God has given us one language of faith by which we proclaim not our own name, but the name of the blessed Holy Trinity, the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, who came down from heaven for us and for our salvation, the one who was hung on a cross to shed his holy blood, a cross between heaven and earth. And it is by that cross and the forgiveness of sins that that cross made possible that you are able to ascend into heaven with your sins forgiven, with nothing to separate you from God, and really nothing to separate you from believers in Christ all around the world. And the believers in Christ who have gone ahead of you into that church triumphant. It is God alone who reverses human wickedness. It is God alone who can bring out of confusion clarity. It is God alone who can use what is sinful in the extreme, the very murder of the Son of God, and bring of it something good, your salvation and forgiveness. And it is God alone through the Spirit who has given you faith in the Savior who died for you, who has given you faith that your sins are indeed forgiven, that you are a citizen of heaven, a citizen of that city of God that comes down from heaven to you, that comes down in the gospel to you, that comes down in your baptism, that comes to you down from heaven in the sacrament of Jesus' body and blood this day. You see, the movement first is from heaven to earth, as in the incarnation of our Lord, and then from earth to heaven, as in the ascension of our Lord. The Spirit came upon you in your baptism, enabling you to speak the language of faith. The Spirit came down from heaven to you, enabling you to confess the saving name of Jesus Christ. The Spirit comes down upon you daily because you are baptized into Christ, and to you it has been given the wonderful privilege to speak the language of heaven. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. And now the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus, your Savior.